What's happening, everybody? This is Roy from The Fit, and you are watching CMS TV.
Turn it up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson, that is.
Black Reflections, stripping the pistol. We're coming. You can find us on all the streaming things, you know, for streaming.
Gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It is yours truly, the Lord Nelson, that is. Yes, indeed. The big guy with the big show from the Live and Loud with the Lord podcast. Yes, indeed. On the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And ladies and gentlemen, you see that handsome face. He's back again, this unbelievable individual. Yes, indeed. And he has something new and amazing. And, you know, once again, before I get started, I've got to read off a little something because he kind of shocked me. He hit me. You know, he hit me with one of the Mike Tyson punches. I didn't see it coming. But this, anyway, let me get into it because this is unbelievable, man. I'm enjoying this. So music lovers,
but not a sucker, but it wasn't a sucker punch.
It wasn't a sucker punch. Music lovers everywhere. Next up on Live and Loud with the Lord is an amazing band with incredible energy and drive. Their music and lyrics get you going immediately from the beginning to the end with no let up. This combination of great lyrical juggernauts, because these guys are in it, man, they're going in, is guaranteed to hit you with a sound that gets you lifted with the music high like no other. I've been privy to some things, man. I'm telling you, it's amazing, man. It's amazing. With their outstanding musicianship, you should prepare yourself for the ride of your life. So without further ado, I welcome for you that blazing hot band, Stripping the Pistol. Charlie, what's going on, man?
It's Stripping the Pistol. And we're excited to let people hear these songs. You know what I mean? It's like, because, you know, when you nowadays, man, if you don't truly love something, you don't want to, you shouldn't release it to the world. You know what I mean?
That's real talk.
You let these... Yeah, and these songs and stuff, you know, we all truly love them, you know, and I can't believe that, like, I want you to believe that if I didn't love something, what, Aftermath of Stripping the Pistol, if I don't care what it does once it comes out, you know, if I didn't love it, I would never want to put it out because I would never want to talk about anything I didn't love, man. It'd be like ridiculous to do that.
No, hey, man, so let's go ahead. How are you going to like to ask, like, what the meaning of the, what is the meaning of Stripping the Pistol?
The real meaning, I mean, the technical meaning is like taking apart a gun, obviously, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But it's like the deeper meaning, you know, it's like we liked it because it was chosen or made up because of just, you know, weapons, man, just dismantle the weapons. Because think about it. If, you know, like, if good people ran the world, you know, from the beginning, you know, uh-huh. The world is what it is. We're not going to talk about that. But if they did, weapons wouldn't be ever made, right?
Got you. Uh-huh.
So it's just like, in a way, it's another form, peace, unity, you know, positive images, you know, hope, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Got you. So listen, man, you guys have been sitting on this music for a while. Now, can we just kind of timeline for a moment? When did this first start, or when did you come back to it and decide that, hey, this is what we're going to do? We want to put this music out because you've been sitting on this for a minute.
Yeah, but these songs right now, there's also guitar, you know, it's not all, there's new stuff put on, like Black Reflections, the guitar solos and all that are new that were recorded this year, you know?
Yes. So it's all revamped. It's all new. It's all
But you know, remastered. Well, it wasn't mastered; it's mastered now, and it's also got, you know, like I think Black Reflections. There was no solo on it, the one we have for when we had it recorded. Kevin just added the solo like a couple months ago. You know,
this is all. Listen, this is all brand new music for the world to hear. It's unbelievable. This first song, Black Reflections, is amazing. I'm telling you. The energy is crazy. I love it. Yeah, and it's fun. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, Pete was telling you, my brother manager and label owner, earlier was talking to you about it's in a movie, you know, with
Sasco. Right, throwback. Oh, no, yeah,
that guy. And it's funny because it's in a paintball scene and everything. And then they play the whole song from beginning up until the first sentence of the second verse, right when I go, it's funny because it's like kids playing there. And the lyrics are, smoked all my drugs now. I'm ready to go.
The camera.
But
comes.
You can hear it fading away, you know, on the paintball thing. You know what I mean? which was wild, man.
Awesome. And for it to be in that movie is great. And ladies and gentlemen, you see it right there, the throwback. You got to check it out. It's unbelievable. This song is amazing. I'm going to keep saying that because it is. I love the energy of it. So let's talk about it. So it's you and who else is in the band?
Well, me and Kevin. We're the co-singers. Well, Kevin plays guitar and sings.
Gotcha.
And so we're the singers. And on the Black Reflections, the drummer is Joe Nunes. He was in Soulfly for like 10 years.
Right.
Drummer, Joe. And the bass player is John Almonte. He was in Wicker Man and a bunch of bands in Chicago. And he's still in bands. And he owns a cool cafe in Chicago on the South Side called Jalopy or something. And then the other guitar player was John Lavetti, who was the second guitar player when Aftermath had two guitar players, you know? Gotcha. So that's the five guys. It's me, but it's really me and Kevin, because on the other songs that we're going to put out, Matt Walker plays drums instead of Joe. And Matt Walker was actually, like Pete told you, he was the drummer. He was actually in the Smashing Pumpkins when they did that album. What was that album called? Adore. And I think he's the drummer in Garbage, you know, the band Garbage, when they go on tour now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's an amazing drummer. And that's the line, you know what I mean? But basically, well, Kevin writes the music.
Yeah.
And it's really just me and him, though. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah, that's just feeling like it's me and Matt in, you know, Plastic Catastrophe. It's us. So I get it, most definitely. But so with two creatives like yourselves, the possibilities have got to be endless. So what do you plan on bringing the masses that is going to take us to that next level of musical enjoyment?
Well, see, it's crazy because you said how what made us bring the band back, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And actually, it was more of the record company loved the songs, and it kind of started through the label more than me and Kevin doing it. You know what I mean? And because I'm in the middle of writing the new Aftermath record, you know, so right now, like I'm going, oh man, you know, Strip the Pistol, everybody that's hearing it really likes it, you know? And you know, you don't want one thing to overpower the other thing, you know?
Right.
I mean, I can write good songs, but I mean, you don't want to focus on two things at once. You know what I mean?
So I'm trying to bail. Especially with such great music, because it is great music. So your sound is so sensational and moving. And I can see the crowds dancing and moshing and having a good time.
Just wait until you hear the song called, which is funny because there's an Aftermath album called There Is Something Wrong, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's a Strip of the Pistol song called I Think There's Something Wrong. Yeah, which is funny, right? Yeah. The Strip of the Pistol song is that song. Just wait until you hear that song, man. So it's just, I can't even explain it. Like I remember when everybody that heard that song, like from labels or whatever, just like loved it to the point where they couldn't even describe what it was. So I'm going to tell you, that song's really going to freak you out. How different it is, and it's super. The catchiness is natural, but it's catchy as hell. It's like ear candy, you know. But with the verses being almost like, you'll hear them all, you know. So we got. I think there's something wrong. These are the songs that are done. I think there's something wrong. Five of You, Left Behind, Nothing to Believe In, Black Reflections, Gone Beautiful,
Sunshine
in the Rain. That's seven right there. Sunshine in the Rain is almost like it's like a ballad, man. It's like It's one of those songs that you picture like Matt Pinfield. You don't remember Matt Pinfield?
Yeah,
you know
Matt Pinfield, Headbangers, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Matt Pinfield loved it. He was trying to, at one point, right before he signed Coheed and Cambria, when he was an A&R guy at Columbia Records.
Uh-huh.
Like he heard Sunshine in the Rain, and he played it for who was the head of Columbia?
Will.
Huh?
Will Bond.
No, that's not the guy.
Will was the head of Columbia.
I don't know. The head of Columbia guy loved it too, but the band I kind of broke up the band anyways. You know what I mean? Even though with all that interest and stuff, and that story. I don't know, man. It was like crazy story. It was crazy. It involved a crazy girlfriend where I kind of like.
Listen,
all the time.
You just Charlie being Charlie. That's all, man. Listen.
Yeah. I mean, we were Q101 here. We went on the radio in the morning, and they were like, they're telling us. I just recently heard the cassette of it. That's why I know this. I would never remember. And he goes, how do you guys feel right now? About 500,000 people are listening to you. Because it was like those morning shows on Q101, you know, where the huge audience. You know, yeah. Yeah, and I remember being there and not wanting to go because I wanted to just go back and hang out with Julie, with her name, the girl I was dating, you know?
Yeah.
Insanity. Anyways, it's a funny story, but what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Sunshine in the Rain. And then, you know who else liked it, heard it once? Pharrell. You know Pharrell from...
Pharrell, of course.
Yeah, because this guy, Lewis, we know, at the Metro, NERD was playing, you know his other band, Lap Dance and everything.
Nerd,
yeah, they were playing there, and I guess for some reason had a Sunshine in the Rain with me. He had a Strip of the Pistol cassette, not an official release, just one of our, you know, things that we didn't even know he had it. And he played it. He gave it to Pharrell, and then Pharrell ended up calling up our Zoid number. You know what I mean?
Right.
At the time, it was more of a management. So he called up and said, I really dig the tune. But nothing ever happened because the band broke up and everything. You know what I mean? So think about it. From Pharrell to the head of Columbia. So that's Sunshine in the Rain. And, man, you're going to – since you like Black Reflections, you're going to – it's not even close to the best song that the Strip of the Pistol has. Like the other – all the other ones I mentioned are just better.
You guys are on to something most definitely. And, of course, you know I love Afterbath. But you guys are definitely, and it is different. You guys are really on to something, man. And so you are going to do a full LP, not an EP, a full LP.
Yeah, an LP with all those songs that I mentioned.
Yes.
And there's probably like 10 songs. You know what I mean? But I mentioned seven, but you know the thing is though. I kind of want, like, the Aftermath is in the middle. Like, Aftermath, we have, for our fourth album, you know, we have maybe nine songs, like four or five songs totally written, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably five. But one is going to be a cover, so we need four more songs. But I have the titles, and the skeletons there, like the choruses and stuff, but they're not, you know, arranged total yet. So that's pretty close to a full album right there. You know, we're kind of close to it being done.
100%.
So, but, the cover we're going to do. Well, no, I'll tell you. We're going to do one
don't,
cover.
Don't let though. Out too much. Listen, I want the scoop. I want it, but I'm just saying, don't let out too much, man, because I know, I'm telling you right now, you guys have the proper backing behind this. This is going to be one of those ones. It's going, man. I'm telling you. This is really one of those. I believe it. This from what I'm vibing off of. And
weird, man. Because when Stripping the Pistol was around, it's just weird. See, I this ain't a brag or nothing, because I'm not saying about it. Man, everybody that heard it liked it. Everybody was weird. because you know when it's true. And we did. We've done. I think we played like about seven or eight, at least eight or nine shows at the Metro in Chicago. We played with. But that was back in the day. See, the band wasn't around a long time, man. The band was around like 2-3 years. And then right away, it got popular because we played with 30 Seconds of Mars.
Right.
We played with Adina. We played with, a lot of bands. Soil. Just a bunch, you know. But what was that band from Chicago that was big?
Kill Hannah.
They played with you guys. You guys didn't play with them. They played with you guys.
Yeah, well, we actually, I think we headlined the Metro one. A couple times, right? And, the Metro's a pretty good size, man. It was packed. There's pictures of the audience. And then when I look at it, those years to me were like kind of like in a haze. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of like.
Well, look.
I was dating a wild bartender girl, you know what I mean? And I like the big deal, you know? And, that's the...
Shout out to the wild bartender girl. Hey, man, listen, as we talked before, man, when you look back to all the things that you've done, it's just your story. It's just your journey. It's just life lessons and everything. And you don't look back at them. You know, I always say I don't have any regrets, man. I just live my life. And I know when I've done wrong, and I do my best not to, you know, make more mistakes. But, man, listen, you got a story that's amazing. I don't know if we talked about it before. I don't know when you're going to write that book, man. It's going to be an amazing
book. The only thing is, man, see, for me, it's hard to – the stories, the stuff I've done, I can't tell people unless there's a lot of people to back me up, because I feel like I hate when people brag about things that aren't real. So I'm so used to everybody bragging and never saying the truth. That I feel like I'm doing it because I don't want anybody to think, I don't want another person like thinking like me out there listening. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I said, like I'm the kind of guy, man, like I told you before, man, like when people go, would you suck a dick for $1 million? I wouldn't suck a dick for $1 billion. it's what I think. You know what I mean? That's why I don't care. I mean, if I love the music, I put it out and other people, let's say, don't like the last Aftermath album, No Time to Waste. I think it's amazing. I fucking love it.
100%. Right? Yes.
I love it. So right when I loved it that much and I'm driving around playing air guitar in my band, I even stopped myself. Like, what the hell am I doing, man? I go, what is this, Van Halen, 1980, and I'm a little kid? How did my band become a band? Listen,
but you've got to love what you do, man. It's you.
Well, I don't really love it. I think I just love it so much. It's almost like when I love Van Halen, you know, or when I love Maiden with a kid. You know, when you're a kid, you loved your favorite band, right?
Right.
You don't care. Somebody told you they didn't like it. Like, you don't care. They're idiots. So for me, I love that album so much that I don't care who likes it because, you know, I think I know good music. You know what I mean? And let's face it, nowadays, man, who was it right now? I was listening to Doc Coyle's podcast on the way here earlier, and he had two other guys. Panel four on how to succeed in the music business nowadays. That's what his last podcast is about, Doc Coyle's, right? And they were saying some stuff. And one guy, I don't know who it was. I wish I could say it was. He goes, let's face it. He said he's been listening to today's music, right? He goes, let's face it, man. He goes, it's all cookie cutter. It all sounds the same. He goes, it's all interchangeable. He goes, yeah, there are great songs and, you know, they could play well and everything. But he said wherever they were, some conference where he heard tons of new shit that's coming out.
Right.
He goes, man, I couldn't, you could interchange one band with the other. You don't know who the hell's who, you know?
That's
right. But it's not only that, man. You know, even the guy from Mudvayne, the singer, you know, Chad or whatever, was saying that the new stuff isn't good, you know? And, and in all reality, how could it be good, man? Because most of these people don't even write in the same room together. It's all file sharing. It's all writing parts in their rooms and all far. Like, a band's got to be in the same room playing together. That's how they got to write songs. I mean, yeah, somebody's going to come in with most of the song, you know, right? But he's going to have the bass a great bass player and a great drummer will naturally need to hear something the guy wrote, just like Led Zeppelin, man. John Bonham had to be there. I mean, you can't be creating great stuff when you're all separate in your little bedrooms around the world.
It is difficult. Room. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And then it's all click tracks and it's all sampled. And it just, the heavy bands don't sound heavy now. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, man. It just doesn't sound right. And it's probably because they don't play live. And, you know, like somebody said that if you go and listen to old Zeppelin albums, Black Sabbath albums, Aerosmith albums, whatever, like young kids now have a problem listening to them some because it's not perfect. You know, it's not on a grid. It's not just perfect. So they think it's weird sounding, you know? But see how opposite it is? That's what made it great, though. You know what I mean?
That's what made it great.
The speeding up out of nowhere, you know, the mistakes and everything, you know what I mean? That's what made it amazing.
It's all a part of it. I remember dude was talking to Herbie Hancock, and he said that he was playing with Miles Davis, and he said he fucked up in a part. And he was like, oh, shit, while they were playing or doing a show. And he said Miles just looked at him, and he just played off of what he fucked up. He just kept going, because like, it was all a part of what's going on. It wasn't a mistake. It was something to use, and so I was just like, man, that's awesome. You know, it really was.
Oh, yeah, especially with Miles Davis and like jazz and stuff like that. Like if it's John Coltrane playing with and they make a mistake, they're going to, if it's real jazz and stuff like that, they're going to improvise on the mistake, and they're going to make the mistake work.
Hey, man, listen. So is it you and Kevin that are producing this whole project?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, Pete's there, too, you know, and, but, yeah, it's me and Kevin.
So, Kevin, you're writing all the lyrics, Kevin's doing all the music?
No, Kevin's doing the music, and I came up with, like, lines here and there, but with this band, I didn't want to write the lyrics, because I've been writing lyrics, man. I just found, like, in the summer when we were... I was clearing out my old bedroom that hasn't been touched in 40 years, you know, like I was just storing stuff there. Man, I found booklets of lyrics, you know, just lyrics.
Right.
I had one song called Angel of Death back then. It's funny. That's all I've done is write lyrics. So when we formed Stripping the Pistol, I wasn't ready to be in another band because it was after Aftermath was over, and then Mother Got Movie Star, you know, that other thing Aftermath did on Interscope, came out, and then we did that, and like I was ready to like take a couple of years and I didn't see what I was gonna do. So then Kevin came into the picture through John Lovetti, because they worked at Guitar Center. That's how he met him, you know. Gotcha. This kid Kevin, man, he's pretty cool, man. You should meet him and maybe jam together, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I met him, we got a little, right away, you know, we liked the same music and we got along right away. He was just cool. I could tell he was going to be a good friend. So I told him, hey, man, if I do this band, I want you to sing and I'll sing. And he never sang before. He goes, I don't sing. I play guitar.
Right.
Oh, I just assumed he sang too. I don't know why I assumed that. Uh-huh. Right. And then, so I made him sing and, you know, he ended up having a cool voice.
Right.
So I go, maybe you'll do the aggressive. And the idea for the band happened before Linkin Park, you know, the double vocals. That was before that.
Right.
You know, so I go, man, it'll be cool. I'll be the aggressive part of the music and you could be the more melodic and more, you know, whatever, you know, the more melodic. Yeah. And then I go, man, you got to write the lyrics. You know what I mean? I did write a big part of the lyrics of that song. I think there's something wrong, you know?
Gotcha.
And maybe Five of You, another one. But yeah, so it was just like a relief to me. I just wanted to put that task, you know, just to like sing, you know, and just have the words. And I think, yeah, maybe I wrote a couple other songs, maybe a paragraph or a verse, you know? I'm not sure, but I know, I think there's something wrong. That was the first song we played, and that was the song I brought to the table right away, you know?
So let's go back to the debut single, Black Reflections. And I just want to say it's fucking awesome, man. It's an awesome fucking song. And just like you say, the other ones are better. And ladies and gentlemen, I may be, you know, privy to a little something. I'm going to say that I'm looking forward to this because I'm thinking that every single one of these songs are going to be bangers, just like Black Reflections.
Man, Lord, after this, when we're done, if you're driving or wherever you're going, just blast those two that I said that
I am going to do that most definitely.
Let me know about the second verse in Hope when it says the lyrics, I'm on an airplane. You know, just when he said that part, and listen to the music underneath.
Right, indeed. Well, let's go back to Throwback. I'm not sure you and I talked about it at first, so Throwback, how did the song get on the movie soundtrack again?
It got because a guy that
Black Reflections. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Black Reflections. That was working. That works with the movies. I guess he used to work at Miramax and everything, and now he works. He's the one that got on. He was a fan from. He's another one of those guys that heard like Matt Pinfield, like Roy Thomas Baker, loves right. Stripping the Pistol, just like him. He just loved the band, and he just goes, "Hey, I got." He tried to get us. He got us. We were in one of the Osborne scenes too. You know the Osborne's TV show.
Yeah,
we were in a scene. Jack was in his bedroom looking at CDs or something. And that song, I think there's something wrong. I think was on that scene. So I think he got it out of there, yeah, right? Yeah, he did it. So he's always been trying. And lately, I don't know where he did. It just, I don't know, everything popped up again. You know what I mean?
Charlie, let me say something. This is my perspective. Now I'm going off the cuff. Of course, I got my questions here, but I'm kind of moving away from that, man. We're just really, really talking now. Do you understand? And let me finish it also. I just want to kind of big you up a little bit. Do you really understand who you are and what you have? And I know Peter and Kevin, they should be, I'm not saying they're not telling you, but my brother, you got something special that's going on, man. And I know that, you know, juggling with Aftermath and now Stripping the Pistol, I mean, because both are big things, you know, two different kind of energies, but still beautiful energy. So you got to embrace this, man. You guys, and I know you are. You got to go ahead and get this stuff out, man. Peter, you got to get this man super focused, man. We need this, man. We need it.
The cool thing about it, though, man, we like this is where we rehearse in this room, right?
Right.
It's almost like we do it the same way, record and rehearse, man. Like the traditional, like the Zeppelins and Black Sabbath did. I mean, in a room together. I mean, everything's like pure and real. There's no trickery, you know. And there's no, you know how bands, a lot of bands like. I was blown away when the engineers told me, you know, we came back and we talked to studio guys. He goes, most bands, some of them do sentence. They don't do the whole song. Like when you're singing a song, they right. don't do the whole song.
Right.
That's how I do the whole song. And then, yeah. And if, especially like, yeah, like maybe if you're tired, you want to get like a whole verse at least or half the song, but some people do sentences. Like I was watching a thing yesterday and how ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, right?
Right.
Like when he was doing some song with Mariah Carey, I guess. Uh-huh. And he came from a video, they said he'd come in, do a line, and then he'd pass out, fall asleep for a couple hours, and then wake up and then go, what are you? And then he'd do another line and pass out. Literally, he'd do a sentence, go to sleep. Do a sentence, go to sleep.
Well, you know, there's a lot of actually, so Jay-Z doesn't write. Biggie didn't write, may he rest in peace. So a lot of these artists now, they don't write. Like Lil Wayne, he'll come in and like my son does it. You know, the youth of the day, they're just different. I'm old school. I'm going to write my music down. I want to know it, and I'm going to run through it. So,
yeah,
but Jay-Z, my son, Jay-Z. They'll come, and when they're recording, they'll record one line, and then they call it like they're freestyling. Well, they're just thinking in their head, like, I'll run this line and then run that back again and let me come up with the next line. Run that back again and let me come. I can't do that.
Freestyling ain't one line. Freestyling is not stopping.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
But freestyling is actually endless lines.
Exactly. That's right. See, I know that as we're older dudes.
Don't tell me this because I remember, man, I've been to parties where people freestyle and it was great. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like back in the 90s or late 80s.
Yes, sir.
Where freestyle. I haven't been to parties where I don't go to parties with kids now. So don't tell me they're freestyling is one line and maybe they take a break and think and then come up for another one. Because let's face it, because some of the rap, you know, just like some of the rock, man, it doesn't mean like it's I don't even know what it is anymore, man. When I listen, like, first of all, there's a million of them. Little Peep, Little Bulb, little Baby, I mean, there's a million of them, man. You know, just like a million bands, man. There's a right. million bands. When you go on, you look at bands, man. First of all, the names most bands have, you would never remember them. They got the craziest names. Man, it's insane. There's like a zillion shitty bands out there. You know what I mean?
You see all the commercials for online gambling, but you're afraid to try them because you just don't want to lose, right? Well, play with the house's money. Right now, sign up with FanDuel at FanDuel.CNSPN.com and get $15 of free bets just for using our link. Sign up today at FanDuel.CMSPN.com and get $15 worth of bets on FanDuel. Be responsible and play today. FanDuel.
Well, Charlie, you know I don't call him shitty because I just know that we all are, you know, doing our best to be the best that we can be. But when you say the thing about the names of bands, I am amazed. Shauna, thank you so much. Love you, love you, love you. Shauna's amazing. Shauna O'Donnell, indeed. So you have some of these, you know, the publicists that are sending us, you know, these different bands. And I'm like, wow.
There's no way you could keep up. It'd be impossible.
I was like, impossible. We know that there's a lot of bands out there, but it's even more than that. That we think there is.
There's a zillion bands, but with names that are unmemorable. You know what I mean? Because it's hard. Probably it's hard to come up with an original name nowadays. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, I was thinking back in the, you know, back when we were, when Aftermath got so fast that you couldn't go any faster, right? I'm thinking, man, have we reached the end? Like with death metal, when, you know, when the original death metal people came out, I'm talking about 85, 86. Right. Uh-huh. I think we reached the extremes. Yeah. And now we're like 40 years later, and it's like the extreme stayed extreme, but it got extreme sounding, but it got more digital and shitty sounding. Indeed. You know what I mean? Because at that point I go, what else can you do to shock people or go faster, more death metal, you know? And then we'll rap. I love the Beastie Boys, man. I love Public Enemy.
Of course.
I even love RTJ, you know, Killer Mike, his shit with, with LP. I mean, those albums, the RTJ, that's new rap now. It's out now. It's out. They're amazing, man. They're great. But the stuff like, I wish I could give you a name, but, you know, the rappers, you know, they're known through, what's that thing, Bandcamp Rappers? Is that what it was? What's that other site where people SoundCloud. Put music out? SoundCloud Rappers, you know? And all those, like, I mean, I wish I could bring up specific names right now, because, like, a friend of mine, Rob, a guy my age, is into, who does he love? Not Extension, you know, that guy?
Yeah, Triple Extension, XXX Extension.
Yeah, because he's dead, too. He's dead. Right. You know, Chicago's got the big, Chicago's got the big scene, you know, with a lot of the rappers there, like Chief Keef.
Yes, of course. You got Lil Durk, you got a few.
Yeah, Lil Durk. All those guys, I forget. But a lot of it, like, who did I tell you Rob loves now, man? But it's not even music, man. It's like, it's this emo sounding music, and the guy's they're not rapping, they're just saying words in auto-tune. You know what I mean? They're not rapping. I don't get what it is, man. It's insane.
Yeah, things have definitely changed, my brother. Things have definitely changed.
Oh, it's oh my God, man.
But listen, beyond all that, we want to talk about Stripping the Pistol, man. I just think that it's awesome. I loved how you broke it down, exactly what it meant, you know, means to you. And when are you guys planning on releasing the entire album?
Oh, man. See, that's the problem, man, because I want to finish the Aftermath album and have that come out first, you know? Okay. But this is already going. The label's got to figure that out.
Peter, you know, what's the deal, man? What's the deal, Peter?
We're going to release a few singles first, and then by the end of the year, we should have the album out.
Okay, I got you. That's what I want to hear. And listen, Charlie, I understand the Aftermath. Because Aftermath is amazing, and I know that's your baby too. But I'm just saying that this here, and what I've heard also, man, you got two winners. Well, winner, chicken dinner for real, man. Well,
you know what scares me, though? If you heard Sunshine in the Rain right now and all the rest of it, you would think, man, if you think Black Reflections could be a big hit, just Sunshine, you're going to freak out, man. You're going to freak out. It's almost like Freddie Mercury. You know what I mean? I can't even say it's on that level of catchiness. You know what I mean?
Right.
It really is. And Kevin wrote it, you know?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You know, he's almost like a darker Kurt Cobain when he writes stuff. Really? You know? Yeah.
Wow.
Plus, at the time when we were doing shows, he resembled him, but he had jet black, you know, black hair, but, you know, straight going down his face, same size, you know? So I forgot who it was called. They go, man, he's like the little dark Kurt Cobain, you know? He's a great musician, man. He's a great musician.
Well, listen here. Are you close to finishing the Aftermath?
Well, yeah, the song's almost written. Yeah, as a matter of fact, today at 5:30, the Aftermath's going to rehearse in this room just on the new songs, you know?
Okay. So you guys have finished that? Have you guys finished the album?
No. We got five songs written, four semi-written, and it's going to be a 10-song album. It's going to be nine originals and one cover. Just like the last album.
Well, you're okay. So I understand you definitely burning both sides of the candle, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's both at the same time.
But that's what, man, I told. Listen, him. I go, man, I'm just saying this stripping the pistol is one. It's, I'm telling you, it's there. I'm loving it.
Well, when you listen to the rest of the songs, whatever you're saying right now, because I sense general excitement from you, it's going to triple, quadruple when you hear the rest of the songs. And I'm not just saying that. That's why I didn't want them to come on now, because I noticed when I was playing for people back then and other people, people were just right away, girls, moms, everybody was loving it right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? And maybe that's why I kind of destroyed it back then, because I thought it's
infectious, though, my brother. It really is. It grabs you and embraces you immediately.
Yeah, and believe it or not, when I said I broke up the band, because the band we were starting to just play live. We were blowing people away, right? Right when we got to hit our peak, you know, we moved to a rehearsal room. And I remember I went there and, I checked out the room. Kevin and John were there, you know, the bass player. And then somehow I just never showed up again. I never paid, it was a monthly thing. And then Kevin kept asking, are you going to come in? Are you want to do this or not? And I just, it went so long that the band just dissolved. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Charlie's a wild dude. In a way, maybe at that time I go, man, I don't know if I can. Everybody loves this too much, man. Like I just told you, I know it's a semi-joke, but deep down subconsciously I go, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this, man. This might get too big. Because I'm not even joking around. Like, Matt Pinfield went and played Sunshine in the Rain at a meeting when they had a new music meeting. Whoever the president of Columbia was, Pete says, Will or now, whatever. Will Botnet, whatever his name is. And he calls Pete up. Man, he was singing it after the meeting, you know? He goes, that's crazy. Like, even from Chips Enough, I don't know why I thought of him, because he came to our rehearsal one time. Matt Pinfield brought him, you know. Mm-hmm. Imagine Matt Pinfield bringing Chips Enough to your rehearsal.
He's meant to come out on TLG Zoid.
Yeah, but then again, everything happens for a reason, right? So maybe this is the time. But again, I might have to destroy Stripping the Pistol again because I'm working on that.
Listen. You have let the Lord
get those tapes and make him disappear.
No. You've let the Lord, Nelson, that is here. I'm not going to allow it. But I'm going to say to you seriously, my mom always used to say things happen for a reason. So when you said that, that's what I wanted to get to that point. Maybe it wasn't the time for it back then. Maybe you weren't prepared for it back then. But now you're prepared for it. Listen, you're seasoned. You're ready for it. You got Peter there who's going to handle the business side of things and allow you to just get out there and do what you do. Man, listen, I'm looking forward to the next Aftermath album. I'm looking forward to the Stripping the Pistols album. Man, just do it, man. What is Star Wars? It's do or do not. You're going to do this, man. This is all what it is. The Force is with you, my brother. It's with you.
Yeah, the Stripping the Pistol. I mean, at the time, you know, it's funny because, like, I wish you could have seen us. Like, I wish we had videotape. I wish we had, like, documented it, you know, because playing the Metro and stuff, like, the last couple shows with it was just energetic because, like, Kevin, John, the bass player, myself, and Joe, it was like, maybe because we're all the same high. I don't know. There's something about it. The energy live was great. It was a great live band too. So what I'm trying to say is as much as you like the record, it was pulled off live and it was exciting too to watch. You know what I mean? Not just exciting because we were excited. You know, it was just a lot of energy. Almost like, what band was it? Was it At the Drive-In where when the band just explodes on stage, you know?
I'll say this. My thing is, the music gets you, but the lyrics keep you. And when you're on stage, you're entertaining. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're entertainers. When we get on that stage, people want to see, they want to hear something, but they want to see something also. So you're out there doing your thing and the music is just great, man. I just think that that combination of what you have and all these years of being in Aftermath and doing what Aftermath does, and now you're going to transition right on over there into Stripping the Pistol with ease. And now you got Kevin there with you and the other great players. Man, it's a win-win, man. You're not going to lose with this. It's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Speaking of live, though, did you see we just played with Flotsam and Jetsam like a week ago in Chicago, Aftermath did? And I put up a little videos, you know, like those minute videos, a little snippet of it.
Of course.
And I was working on them today because I got from Pete the video from the tape. It was just one shot, but it was just fun, like fucking, you know, getting high and then taking one. You know, imagine just shooting the band from your phone, right?
Right.
I button it up and making it seem like there's multi cameras, you know.
I got you.
So check out the videos I put on TikTok. I'm the one that made them, you know. I don't make the videos.
You just put it up?
I put up one this today, yeah, on TikTok.
I don't know if I've responded to that one already, but I don't know about the one on TikTok. I will check it out though. But man, listen, do you record everything that you guys are doing, all the content when you're rehearsing and everything?
If it's new stuff, yeah.
No, nah, man, listen, Charlie, once again, you do know that you are one of those guys, right? That just people want to watch and hear, and you're one of those dudes. And I know I'm saying it, and not just because you're on the show, but ever since the first time I met you and we've talked, man, I'm just like, Charlie is on another level to me. You're that guy to me, man. So,
you know what's funny right now, man? You know what? You made me forget right now. Not you. But we're talking about, this is about Stripping the Pistol. But the new Aftermath, one song's called Was It All Worth It? One song's called Fait to Comply. Another one's called Promise Me Arcadia. Uh-huh. Promise Me Arcadia. Just wait. I mean, those songs are almost like as catchy as, I don't know what's going on, man. They're all like becoming like, I'm not intending them to be that catchy.
It's just who you are, bro. It's who you are, man. Listen, you're going to have to embrace it. Peter, I don't know what you got to do, man.
You know who you sound like? Hey, not to interrupt one more time. You know who you sound like right now, man? Just because I was – you know Vlad?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vlad, man. Right now, you kind of sound like Vlad.
Listen, I'd love to have the followers like Vlad has, man. But listen, it's all – I'm just being honest with you. I can't do anything. I'm a positive person, but – if it was something that
you got the same vibe as him, man. I think like you kind of remind me, like now just maybe just because I heard him, I was just listening to him earlier today, you know?
Right.
And the way he has it, it's cool. That's why I enjoy doing the podcast with you, man, because it's got that vibe like Vlad, you know, when he interviews people.
Dude, all I know is listening to this music, watching the videos that Aftermath is putting up, all the content that you guys have is always going to be great, especially that you're really, putting up this stuff on TikTok and all the platforms. People want to see what you're doing. People want to see you guys recording. They want that vibe, man. They want to know what's going on, especially of what's going on now, you know, because content is king. And I know that, listen, we're older guys. I finally had to start doing it because, what's my guy's name that played bass for the Deftones? He has his own band now.
Sergio.
So, you know, I was somebody was interviewing me, Scott Bowling, podcast wise, and Sergio was there also. And Sergio and his wife, they told me, they were like, hey, content, you got to sell you even more than the music. So, Charlie, I'm telling you are that guy. You're that dude. So people want to see you and they want to hear you because you have great conversation. You have great stories. I'm telling you, man, you're that dude, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that. But I mean, I just like the, you know, I just like talking to you. That, you know, I mean, I'm not real talking with. If I didn't enjoy the interview, and I thought the questions were dumb. I mean, I wouldn't be able to expound on my story. But hey, going back to Sergio for a minute. Hey, isn't it? Didn't he go back to Quicksand?
Yeah. So he's with Quicksand, right? So that I couldn't think of the name, but Quicksand, yes, indeed. But they told me, I mean, they really did. They were like, I said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And they, you know, I was just, I don't want to bother you, you know, if you're too busy. But he's like, man, we're here together. He's like, come on, let's talk. And so we sat down. So he and his wife, and I was just like, yeah, well, I'm doing this. And they were just like, hey, it's about you, especially now. It's not just about the music. It's about you. And so every time I talk to you or I see you on stage and I see the videos that you put out, you have me. And I'm just like, look at Charlie. Charlie out there doing it. Then I'm looking at your band members and I'm looking at them playing and I'm like, these guys are so incredible. I said, everybody's talented and you guys are all, it's the collective is so harmonious. And I'm like, they've got it and they're so deep in it. So that's why I know that Stripping the Pistol is going to be just as great as Aftermath. So I'm just looking forward to it, man. I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I know. I mean, I totally know where you're coming from because you said you're a real music fan. And believe it or not, Aftermath, see, like Ray, the drummer, and Steve, the guitar player, and me, we started the band, us three. We've had, you know, several different bass players, but they never wrote in the band, so it didn't matter. But the whole point of the bass players, besides the first one, Adam, who was a skinhead and still is, and didn't want to ever progress besides the speedcore stuff. He couldn't play the more technical stuff. That's why we got rid of him back in the day. After that, all the bass players that we had, Danny Vega, Chris Waldron, and now George, they're all amazing players. So we just got lucky that we got bass players. Well, George is actually, we're letting him write on this new record with us too, because George is really, we wish we had him from the beginning. But basically, Aftermath, the same three people that started the band. And they're so vital. Like, I understand why Zeppelin broke up when John Bonham died, because there's no way another drummer could
come in the band.
You'd only understand that if you were a real music fan and came and watched the band when they rehearsed. Like, because a lot of people, even when Zeppelin broke up, you know how many people go, man, it's just a drummer. Anybody could fill it in. Millions on the table, right? Yeah. You know, but this music, especially like Aftermath, Stripping the Pistol are great players too, but Aftermath, it's like, it's almost like weaving a blanket together. You know what I mean? I mean, whatever it is, everything goes in perfectly together. You know, it's so musical, and it might sound, you know what makes great musicians, when they play stuff that might be even easy at one point and they're still hard to play. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like doing a cover of Aftermath songs would be real hard, you know?
Yeah. No, you guys, you guys are amazing. You're doing amazing work, man. This Stripping the Pistol.
We're about truth, you know what I mean? Like we talked before, like seeking truth. Like, it's not even about glorifying and rock stardom and all that stuff. That's fine when you're growing up and it gets you into it, you know, because Kiss, wow, they're like superheroes. And Van Halen look like rock gods, you know, and they were amazing. But right now, I love music so much, so the music's got to be intense. And the players in Aftermath are like a machine, you know? They can play any. First of all, Steve, he could play. He was in a wedding band that was booked years ahead when we were basically in high school. He was making like $300 a gig because it was a three-piece. Right. Back in the 80s, they were called Weekend. A wedding band, they were booked a year ahead. They had a booking agent. And he had to go every, when did the new chart come out? Billboard. Every Tuesday, he'd have to go to the Rolling Stone and buy that wedding band had to know the top 10 hits of the current top 10 hits, no matter what they were. So let's say Steve would have to learn if it's Eye of the Tiger, if it's Obama, it doesn't matter. If it's in the top 10, he had to know how to play it.
Got you.
Show me a lot of people that could do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's real talk. Well, listen, man.
Yeah, and plus he was a guitar teacher at a young age at a store called Tunes and Taps, where he was teaching like 30, 40 people like around the city. There's a lot of people in the city that are playing bands that get to, Steve was their teacher. Well, I went to a high school called Steinman's. It was like 4,000 kids. That's where Hugh Hefner went too, by the way. Right. And Steve was known as the guy, man. In high school, I didn't know him personally. I met him in junior college in the parking lot because I go, "That's that guy, that guitar player." You know, because you know, imagine the parking lot—you don't know nobody, and you recognize. Yeah, but again, in high school, I never talked to him and everything. And he was known throughout everybody that he could play all the Yes songs and all the. Yeah. He was just known as a brilliant jazz guy, you know. Right. So, and Ray, just mind-blowing drummer, and so with those guys. It's the lyrics are just pouring out of me, man. I'm telling you, like the last two albums, even Eyes of Tomorrow, it's just like, if you really look what's said, and there is something wrong with the concept album in 2019, it predicted everything that's coming up. Because it's not that I'm a Nostradamus or anything. It's just because I pay attention to what they say and what's going on. You know what I mean? I'm not distracted by stupid shit.
Right. Charlie, well, listen, man. All I know is, excuse me.
That the world's
glad. No, Stripping the Pistol is going to be an amazing project, an amazing album with amazing players, two amazing front men doing work, bouncing off each other, you know, the harder to the melodic. You guys are harmonious together, man. It's a beautiful thing. And I know that everybody's going to enjoy it, man.
What if it's getting too big? It's got to die. I'm joking.
No, that's why Peter is there to buffer all of that.
Right.
Peter is there to buffer.
Well, he's
all
the one that brought it back.
Peter, we got to buffer all of that, man. You got to be that in between to make sure.
Well, you never know. Now maybe he'll kill the bands and have
Hey, we're gonna put Charlie in a straitjacket.
No, you'll have.
we're gonna roll him out on stage in a straitjacket.
No, you'll
but do Peter, hold on, listen. Do you hear what you just said? So I'm so visual. Do you know how cool that would be? Charlie, I don't know if you would do it, but do you know how cool that would be to have you just in a straight jacket? Just as a photo. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I will not be institutionalized.
See, and listen, that's the caption right there. I will not be institutionalized. That is awesome. See, that's the thing. Your mind is that you are such a great creative that things pop in your head. I understand, you know, because things always are running through my head like that. So all of that, see, that just right there was amazing, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like when the songs get done, like Aftermath was supposed to we were never supposed to be back. We were supposed to do one reunion show and then have fun and then not play again. I don't understand how we made two albums already and making a third one like that. No, they're just pouring out of us. I don't know what's going on. I think maybe maybe the seeking truth thing is empowering us. You know what I mean? Because you got to understand, like, I know what's going on in the world, man. I know, you know, there is no, man, I'm going to just say this, no conspiracy, no nothing. All of us, the 99%, all of us, everybody, you know, everybody, I know everybody has one enemy, and that's the 1%.
Gotcha.
The 1%. That's our only enemy. They destroy everything. They cause wars. They treat us. I mean, they exterminate us. They're depopulating us as we speak. So I think we should all get together and get rid of that 1% that's been there. You know, the bloodlines, man. Just look at the people that run the Federal Reserve, the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world. They print money. You know what I mean? I mean, what a joke. I mean, anybody out there that's not awake, not woke, that's not awake right now, doesn't realize we're run by a satanic bloodline that is all about Agenda 2030. They're fucking idiots, and they got to go under a rock and shoot themselves. I don't know.
And we can hold this for the Aftermath interview.
Peter, it wasn't me, bro.
I know, it wasn't you. We could cut it right where it ended.
No, because, man, did you see one of my latest pictures? There's chemtrails everywhere, right? So the latest picture I put a monkey hanging from a chemtrail, pulling a chemtrail down. Did you see that photo?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But I'm going to go look. But listen.
Yeah.
So it's pretty real. So rolling back, and we're going to get ready. tie this up. I just want, once again, to let you know that Stripping the Pistol, my brothers and sisters out there, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be an amazing project. You guys are going to enjoy it. The music is magnificent. The energy is off the charts. Charlie, you already know he's an amazing creative musician, front man. He's going to do what he does, also with Kevin. And listen, tell the people, what can we expect from Stripping the Pistol? You know, why is Stripping the Pistol a must-see and listen? Let me know that.
Well, you can expect like 10 songs. I like the 10 song number, you know, on albums. And albums aren't dead, you know. They're only dead to morons. Anyways, 10 songs that They're all different sounding, but they all have energy, and they'll all stick in your mind. And they're all just great songs, man. They're just great music, you know, just like great shit. And you got The One's Out, right? Black Reflections. But Lord, you got two songs that nobody has, Hope right. and Left Behind. So you'll see when you fully listen to those two, imagine those aren't even the best, you know, because they're not, you know, like Sunset in the Rain and I Think There's Something Wrong or Gone Beautiful or Five of You.
Man, well, listen.
Radiate.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get in my vehicle. I'm going to play it, and I'm going to turn it up the maximum.
Yeah, hey, write me later and tell me what you think.
Which I 100% you like. Will, man. There's no doubt. Well, listen.
And it's great right now that, hey, one day we'll meet in person. It'll be cool, I think.
Listen, right? You don't know how much I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to just hanging out, man. Really, just vibing with you, man, because you are that guy. And then meeting your brother also. Peter, man, you guys.
Oh, you can tell. Yeah. You see, you remind me like Angelo and Greece and people. Yeah. There's people like a guy like you. We could sit there and we'll be talking for hours, man.
Yes. Listen, 100%, man. And listen, this has been enjoyable once again. And the last thing is, the floor is yours. Say whatever you want to say about Stripping the Pistol. And then we'll get up out of here, man. Talk to the people.
All right, check out Stripping the Pistol. The only thing you can check out right now is on Spotify and YouTube or whatever. Apple, you know, all the sites, but only one song, Black Reflections. And expect to hear a great album, man, for real. Stripping the Pistol is going to make, you know, it's a great album. But right now, after we finish this interview, I'm in the room. We're working on brand new Aftermath music for the fourth Aftermath album.
Awesome. My brother, I just want to let you know that anytime you want to come on this show and talk about anything, you are welcome. This is your safe space. We can talk about anything. I don't care what it is, man. I got nothing but love for you, man. And Peter, you too, man. You guys are some great dudes, man. I just want you to know that, man. I feel Pete, the energy.
Well, the cool thing about Pete, like Zoid was our own independent label, right?
Right.
But now they hooked up with the label group, TLG, and Virgin Records, you know?
Right.
So, you know, the band's kind of congratulating Pete for doing that, you know what I mean?
Hey, awesome, man. Listen, Pete, you know, Charlie bigged you up before, talked about all the things that you've done and been that guy, and he's always had that faith and trust in you, man, and that's a lovely thing, man, you know, to be family and be able to count on family. Because sometimes, you know, you can't count on family. But to be able to count on family is a beautiful thing.
Exactly. That's important. And I want to say this message. We should all be united. Let's not be divided. Whatever they get say on mainstream news, you know, everything you look at is dividing people. Us, like I said, the 99%, let's all be together and love each other, you know, which just sounds crazy. But just think about that, man. We only have one enemy.
Yes, indeed. More love, less hate is what I like to say. And I really mean that. Yes, indeed, my brother. So we'll end it right there on a great note, man. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the big show, The Lord.
Aftermath!
Nelson, that is. From the podcast, Live and Loud with The Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment with the amazing Charlie, from Stripping the Pistol. Yeah.
And again, another great interview with you, bro. And I can't wait to talk to you later on. Just let me know.
Listen, let's just stay in touch, man. And anytime you need or whatever, man, I'm here.
Yeah, we're good. Find me later when you hear the other two songs.
Great to meet you, my brother. I'm going to enjoy this music, man. And I'm looking forward to the other, man.
All right, Lord Lloyd, I'll talk to you soon, bro. Yeah.
All right, man. Peace. You guys be good, man. I love you guys, man. Be good. Peace. Oh,
Get ready to turn up the excitement at your next event with the Perfect Choice Band, the ultimate party starters in Ohio and beyond. Picture this: two electrifying vocalists, a powerhouse rhythm section, and a horn ensemble that will blow you away. That's right, the Perfect Choice Band isn't just another cover band. We're here to transport you to the heart of the party with unforgettable renditions of your favorite hits. From classics to chart toppers, we've got your playlist covered. Our mission? To keep you singing and dancing until the stars fade into dawn. So, why settle for ordinary when you can have extraordinary? Call 440-346-5242 or visit us at perfectchoiceband.com to book the ultimate entertainment experience for your special day. The Perfect Choice Band, where every moment is music to your ears. Don't miss out. Book now and let's make memories together.